All right, and a very good morning to you. It's 11 o'clock, and you are listening, of course, to your public radio station, your public media station, Red River Radio. It's time for another Spotlight. I'm Kermit Poling, general manager here, and joining me in the studios, well, Michael Butterman, who's music director of the Shreveport Symphony, who has joined us many times on the air, and Janani Sridhar, who is the soprano being featured this weekend in a performance of, actually, the concert just has one work on it, Mahler Symphony No. 4. And if you've been kind of keeping track of all of those small concerts, you know, in terms of numbers of musicians, you're probably going to go, what? Mahler? Wow! Because generally we think in terms of great large orchestras, but this is kind of a cool, different way of approaching Mahler. And Michael, I'll let you talk about that.
Sure. Well, the Fourth Symphony is Mahler's shortest symphony and also his least large in terms of instrumentation. However, this version that we're doing is far less large even than what Mahler had in mind. This is a chamber reduction that was made back in, I think it was 2007, so a little over 10 years ago. And it, however, is in the spirit of a lot of those kind of more intimate arrangements that were made around the time of the late teens, early 20s, 1920s, that is, with Arnold Schoenberg and his cohort, who were attempting to share music with that required large forces, but share it with people that you know, could be done in someone's, let's say, a drawing room or something, mm-hmm. You know, a little bit more like a home setting. So this has single wind players and single string players, rather than whole sections. It has a piano. It has also a harmonium, which is a reed organ, a rather unusual sound, but one that is used to kind of fill out some of the sustaining chords for instruments who are not present in this reduction. Also a couple of percussionists. I think it's just 14 instrumentalists, and then Janani joining us for the last movement. But in that space, in the church, First Baptist Church, where we're performing it, it really fills up the acoustic space there and feels very much like a full orchestra sound, and yet it has that kind of intimacy that that much of Mahler's music has anyway, but I think you especially can hear it in this version.
Just because I'm curious, and I've never seen the original reduction that was done for Schoenberg's group. I don't know if he did it or it was one of his friends.
No, it was Erwin Stein, I think.
Okay, they're right. Stein that did it. So what are the differences between... There obviously was a reason that someone felt to redo it.
The main difference is that this requires two keyboard players. I believe that the one that Stein did, we considered both of them, and it was long enough ago that I can't remember all the details and the reasons that we chose this one preferentially. But my recollection is that there's only one keyboard player required in the other one, and therefore this one, I think, just feels a little fuller and bigger because it has that harmonium part, for example. And the harmonium, again, is something that was chosen in 2007, but it was chosen because it was the sort of thing that would have been used in a lot of those reductions back in the 20s, although I think it was not chosen by Stein in that particular case. So that's an unusual instrument. We had to actually you know, search a little bit to find an appropriate acoustic instrument. We were fortunate to have one on loan to us from Jefferson, Texas. But it'll be a really you know, unusual experience, I think, for the audience that already is for us performing it.
Well, sure. Janani, first of all, welcome to Red River Radio. Glad
Thank
to
you
have
for
you
having
here.
Me.
And so you've been, the newest member of the music faculty, voice faculty at Centenary College. Mm-hmm. When did you come on board? I don't remember exactly.
Last August.
It was August. So it was in the middle of the pandemic.
It was in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's what I'm remembering, which is a great time to come on board, I guess. but welcome. Glad to have you here. And so excited to have the opportunity. You know, we've heard such wonderful things about you. And, you know, the last movement of the Mahler is, oh my gosh, it's such a gorgeous piece. Why don't you talk a little bit about it? Because I think the what is going on in that movement is really very lovely and very significant.
Mm-hmm. So what we get is a young boy's vision of heaven, and the text is incredible, and how Mahler sets the music to this incredible text is wonderful. You get all this wonderment with the percussion.
Yeah. And, those guys.
words this morning. I should have had my coffee. And you have a lot of transitions. So you experience his vision of heaven with him. You're in the moment every single time. And the text is tasty and full of life with the descriptions of plentiful food and all the saints that he gets to meet and what they're doing in heaven, whether it's, you know, looking out upon us. You get to hear about angels baking bread. There's a lot of beauty in the text. It's wonderful.
It's I think that one of the things about Mahler that maybe people don't necessarily think about, but at least to me, I think of him in the same way, in some ways, like I do, like Schubert, that basically at heart he's a songwriter.
Hmm.
And so his symphonies are full of, well, everything he wrote. Some of them are outright called songs, but I mean they are songs at heart, and somehow he interweaves them into these amazing textures. And you know, you don't necessarily think it, but still, no matter how dramatic he gets, it still feels like a song. So it just seems so great that he ends this symphony with one. And and you've not had the opportunity yet to rehearse this yet with the smaller version, have you?
No, but we will tonight. I'm really looking forward to it.
But it's I think that especially, you know, the way you describe the what is going on in that movement, the intimacy of the ensemble like this should be like a perfect match, I would think.
Yeah, I think it really does fit the feeling at that particular time. Again, in the full version, it's also, you know, Mahler is amazingly gifted at employing a huge array of instruments and then somehow writing very transparent and somehow intimate music with that. But as you say, this setting certainly lends itself to that sense of intimacy even more obviously than his other works. So this is his first four symphonies are called the Wunderhorn symphonies because mm-hmm. all of them have a connection to Das Knaben Wunderhorn, this collection of poems from which the last movement is taken. And this is interesting in that he wrote the song Das himmlische Leben about 8 years before he wrote the rest of the symphony. In fact, he at one point was going to make it the last movement of his third symphony, but then he realized that maybe six movements and an hour and a half was okay enough for that one. So instead he writes an entirely new symphony to, in a way, showcase this rather short song. The last movement's only, I don't know, 9 or so minutes, maybe 9 or 10 minutes. It's the shortest movement of the four by quite a bit. And yet it is the focal point. It is clearly where we are going. He wrote the first three movements knowing what his destination was, like an author who writes the conclusion, his last chapter first, and then sort of writes the rest of the book to lead up to that. So we hear in all of the opening movements things that we are going to encounter again in the last movement, whether it is certain sonorities like these sleigh bells, rather very unusual sound that opens the symphony, and yet we hear them again in a slightly more menacing way in the last movement. But and then we have this transition in the beautiful long third movement at the end of it, where he just almost can't seem to figure out how to end it. He decides in a way not to end, but rather to kind of transform into this new key of E major. So he gives a G major symphony that ends in E major, but we're in a new world. We're in heaven at the end. So he kind of gives us that little transformation, and then the horn plays for us a prefiguring of the main melody that she's going to sing, at least she's going to open the last movement with. Anyway, it's a piece that has that real sense of organic unity, perhaps especially because he decided ahead of time what his destination was and plotted backwards. He reverse engineered it, I guess you might say.
So you had mentioned earlier that the acoustics of First Baptist Church seem to enhance the overall sound for this, and you were commenting how full it sounds even with the smaller group. Well, let me remind you that these concerts are at First Baptist Church, and there are two of them. One tomorrow evening, that's at 7:30, and then Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you want to attend in person, and I haven't asked Lois Robinson how tickets are for this, but
well, there are it's quite full, but there are a few single tickets available to buy if you are interested in coming in person. And the best way to do that probably is to call our box office, 227-TUNE, 227-8863. It's area code 318. You can go online as well, but I think we'll have the most up-to-date information about which seats are specifically available if you call. You can, of course, purchase digital access at any time, either by calling the number or by going online to ShreveportSymphony.com. That digital access is... it is unlimited, obviously. We can have as many people streaming that as wish. And then you can do that, by the way, in real time or on demand for a period of 2 weeks after the concert.
Right, through June 5th. So whichever your choice is, I imagine, actually, you could do both. You can come and see the concert live and then relive it for the next 2 weeks, which is available to you. And I will say that... one of the cool things about this, and if you are live, is because this is being streamed, there are cameras that are typically picking up, you know, close-ups of, I'm sure we'll have some of Janani and definitely of you, Michael, but also players in the orchestra, so that it's an opportunity to get caught up visually in what's going on as well.
Yeah, I think it kind of brings you into the performance in a way that is very... effective, and that experience is available to people who are watching the live stream, but it is also available to people who are in the church as well, because we are projecting those images on the two walls behind the orchestra. So you have that experience whichever way you choose to consume this program.
Sure. So again, the concert's tomorrow evening, 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And isn't there supposed to be a one of those drive through things, I guess, with the weather today? Isn't that supposed to be today? There's supposed to be one.
I cannot recall at the moment whether that has been postponed or not. That we've had a few reschedulings of those drive-in concerts because of the sort of iffy weather we've had lately.
Had a lot of it. Speaking as a station that has two of our stations off the air because of storms and all of that, there have been a lot. In any case, the symphony continues to do smaller events, and you might want to go to the website, which I really should have up here, but I don't, to look those up. And there are more. There's more to the Classica series as well with Emperor Concerto, right?
Emperor
coming
Concerto
up in June.
In just a couple of weeks, actually, with Alan Goldstein. Yeah, people can check out the website or the Facebook page. I think both of them are pretty updated as to details about those drive-in concerts that you mentioned.
Sure. Anything you want to add, Janani, about the concert?
Nope. I just hope you'll join us. It's going to be a wonderful, magical night, I think.
I'm just, you know, delighted to have the opportunity to work with Janani for the first time, and we hope that there'll be many, many opportunities in the future to do so. I think this is a beautiful way to introduce her to our Shreveport Symphony family, and just delighted she could join us.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Of course.
All right, Michael Butterman and Janani Sridhar, who will both be a part of the performances tomorrow and Sunday, Mahler Symphony No. 4. In a chamber orchestra version of the piece, or in my mind, I kind of think of it as salon orchestra, kind of, because that's really what I think the intent was. And it should be absolutely amazing. And if you're a Mahler fan and you'd like to get a different idea of what the Fourth Symphony could sound like, this is a great opportunity, and it'll be a wonderful performance. Again, information at ShreveportSymphony.com, or you can call 318-227-TUNE 8863. Michael, Janani, thank you both for being on the air.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
And if you're with an organization and you have an event coming up and you'd like to be featured in a future spotlight, give us a call at 800-552-8502.